Matthew's Gospel first. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 4. Page 950, Matthew chapter 4. Just a few verses from here. It might be worth putting something in that page if you want to keep that. Matthew 4, and just reading from verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. And then turning to Mark's Gospel, and the first chapter, page 985. Mark chapter 1. And beginning the reading here at verse 16. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer and ask the Lord's help. Our gracious eternal Father, we come before thee once again this morning, and we are aware of the need of thy presence and of thy guidance. Knowing, Lord, that many words may be issued from the mouth, Lord, we pray that thou wast guide, that they might be the right words for this day, that they might be the words that affect our hearts, and Lord, that we might be drawn to study thy word and to consider those things which are written there, and Lord, that we might be found servants who are faithful, and that we might walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Bless us then, we pray thee. Bless me as I would bring forth this word. We pray thee in all things thou wouldst have the glory and the preeminence. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So we've come in this chapter of Mark, the first chapter of Mark, to the 16th verse, which tells of the calling of some of the disciples to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And we did make a short mention of those things last Lord's Day, but I want to look into them a little more today and to consider what the Lord did and what the Lord said. So we have here a call unto himself. How important that is, that we should hear the call of the Lord. Of course, it's important that we are listening, therefore, isn't it, that we might hear the call. Remember how Elijah was up in the mountain after he had run away from King Ahab and Jezebel, and how the Lord, there was a sound of an earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. There was a mighty wind, and the Lord was not in the wind. And then there was a still, small voice. We don't want to miss that voice. We want to hear what the Lord has to say for us. That's how important it is that we come into the house of God, having prayed, ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. It's not just the preacher who needs to pray and pray that the Lord will help people to listen, but it's each of us that we need to pray and ask the Lord to give us hearing and understanding, ears and hearts. And so here we have this call of the Lord Jesus Christ, an invitation to the company. Now, when we read of Simon and Andrew being called to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize the fact that they had already met with Christ. We read together from John's Gospel how that Andrew was one of the disciples of John the Baptist, and how that John the Baptist said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And when he heard those words, and John also was there with him, when they heard those words, they followed, and Jesus turned and said to them, What do you seek? What is it you're looking for? And they said, Well, where do you dwell? I'm not sure that was quite what they were looking for, but it was what they answered. And sometimes we don't know what we should answer to a direct question. Perhaps they were somewhat surprised that Jesus turned around and looked at them and actually asked them, what is it that you seek? But it's a good question, isn't it? It's a good question that we should ask ourselves. What is it that we seek? What is it you seek today? Do we seek the blessing of God? Do we seek to know Christ? These two, as they followed Jesus, sought to know something about him, having heard the words of John the Baptist, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Who is this Lamb of God? What is it that he has done? Why a lamb? Of course, the Jewish people would have understood something about a lamb and the sacrificial system and those things which were carried on even to the day in which they lived. But why this man? Who is he? And so they go with him and they spend the day with him. And the Lord speaks to them. But then also we know that Andrew went and found his brother, first of all, and his brother's name was Simon, or Simon Peter, who we also read of here. Now Mark misses out many things. So we have already noted the fact that he doesn't go into the temptations in the wilderness. And so those things are not there. And there are many other things as well. Of course, all of that which Matthew speaks about of the forebears of the Lord Jesus in the first chapter of Matthew, and all that Luke speaks about Mary's experiences. He doesn't go into any of those things. Goes straight into what Jesus does. And so here, he doesn't speak about John the Baptist and John and Andrew and Peter. But nevertheless, we read in the scripture, those facts are filled in for us. And Jesus looks upon Peter and he says, "Your name will be Kephas, a stone." And that he would be the one who would be preaching the gospel. Now, when we consider this then, we have this invitation which was not the first call, but a second call. First of all, Jesus said, "Come and see," which was almost the same thing, wasn't it, as "follow me." Come and see. Follow me, you'll find out where I'm staying. And so they had followed him. And then there was this opportunity again of the Lord Jesus preaching to the people. And we read there again in Luke's Gospel how that Jesus comes by and he sees there in verse 2, I think it is, of Luke 5, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Gives us a bit of understanding, a bit of background, doesn't it, that he had already met with Simon. Simon already knew him, that Simon had already heard the words that the Lord Jesus has spoken concerning him. And so Jesus goes into that ship, and he tells him to thrust out a little from the bank, and the Lord Jesus then preaches to the people who had gathered round, that they might hear, as the words come in across the water to them, that they might hear what is being said. And then afterwards, the Lord Jesus takes them to put down their nets and to take in a draught. We're not going into that subject today, although it's a very interesting subject on its own. But Simon says to him there again, Luke, "Master, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Master is a very interesting word. It's a word, epistatus. And epistatus is a word which means superintendent, or someone who rules, someone who is in control. That's an interesting word, isn't it, that Peter uses of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hasn't followed him yet. He hasn't forsaken his nets yet. He hasn't forsaken the ship. He has met with Christ. He has seen Christ. He has heard Christ. Yet already he recognizes Christ for who he is. That he is the authority. We read again in Matthew's Gospel at the end of the Sermon on the Mount that the people were amazed because Jesus taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And so he renders him that honour of being a master. And then the Lord Jesus says in the last of those verses, verse 11, "Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So here's the invitation of the company then, a first call, a second call, that they should come. And we find that the Lord Jesus here says, I will make you to become fishers of men. And there he says, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. It's an interesting thing that the Lord doesn't necessarily call a person the first time he meets with them. It could be that we've met with Christ before. It could be that you've spoken to Christ before, perhaps. And we must remember that. We must be aware that the Lord works over time in people's hearts. It's a good thing to remember in the whole of our Christian lives that people are not instantly perfect. You know, sometimes within the church we can judge one another and say, well, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing this, or that. But we all are going down a path. We are all learning to overcome sin. We are all learning and growing in grace and becoming strong. The Apostle Paul himself says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And it's a path that we take. And we all take a slightly different one. We're different characters. Different things apply to us. Different things appeal to us. Different things are hard for us to put down. Different things can take our hearts. Circumstances are different. We must be so very careful in our judgment one of another. So here is the invitation. The Lord now calls them and says to them, follow me. Come ye after me, in Mark's Gospel, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And that's an interesting word. It's not there in Matthew, but it's here in Mark. I will make you to become fishers of men. There is a work to be done yet. And we find Peter, after the Lord Jesus dies, said to those who were around him, why go a fishing? And he goes back to his ship once again. The work which Christ was doing in him was not yet complete. But in John, at the end of John's Gospel, we know he says, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. So we see this invitation to the company, and then also an indication of their characters. An indication of their characters. The fact that their characters were changed. The very understanding that Peter was so taken up with his job. There he was. He was obviously a very motivated man to do what he does. He was a fisherman. We find them here that they are casting a net into the sea. We read also that they were washing their nets. And those two things are not contradictory, because you would wash your nets by casting them into the sea. It doesn't say that they were trying to bring fish in, just casting their nets into the sea. And so they were washing their nets. And John and James, his brother, they were mending their nets in the boat. And that was what was going on. They were about their work. And we find that after that Peter that first time had met with the Lord Jesus, and he had heard him preach, perhaps on other occasions too, that each time he had gone back to the ships to carry on with that fishing. And what we've already said, after Jesus died and they didn't know what was going on, Peter said, I go a fishing. And he goes back to fishing once again. He's very industrious. He wants to do his work. He wants to do his job. And it's quite a hard task, I would imagine. First of all, just washing the nets, and then bringing them in and mending the nets. It must be hard to find the holes in the nets, because nets are all holes, aren't they? But to find the places that need to be repaired, and then tying them. So we find them working very hard. An indication of their characters, that they were about that work. And then also an indication of their characters, that they leave that work and follow Christ, that they desire to walk with God. I wonder this morning, do we desire to walk with God? What is it that keeps us back? What is it that stops us serving him? What are the things that are so important to us that when we hear those words, follow me, and they come to all of us, that we say, let me first go and bury my dead. Let me first go and marry my wife. Let me first go and sort out the affairs of this life. Will we not walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord will provide for us and keep us and bless us. So we see an indication of their characters. They're willing to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and leave all those things behind them. And wealth as well, it would seem, because we've read of John and James here in Mark's Gospel in verse 20, that they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants. With the hired servants. So they were ship owners, and they were also the hirers of servants. So they had a business which was going here, and they were partners, we read also. Then we see the identification of their calling. What was it Christ was calling them to do? Well, he uses their own skills, doesn't he? He says that you are fishers, but I'm going to make you fishers of men. And the Lord, of course, knows your heart. He knows the way that you take. He knows your strengths and your weaknesses. And he takes your strengths and he uses them for his work. I want to go on a little and consider that idea, that thought that the Lord Jesus sets into their minds, that ye shall be fishers of men. I will make you to become fishers of men. Or as Luke has it, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. So the Lord Jesus gives them a challenge. When we consider the fishermen, and we bring these two things together, because the Lord Jesus has done this. He has used this picture of fishing, and he has set that before these fishermen, and he says, I will make you fishers of men. So what do we see in the picture of that very thing? Well, first of all, the challenge of the call is the danger of the sea. The danger of the sea. We go back to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, which is page 636, if you want to turn up that page. Psalm 107, and in verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. So this psalm here is speaking about the troubles which meet us on the sea. We might say, well, that's a tenuous link. I mean, Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men, and now we're going to look at the sea. How can that be justified to jump in such a way? Well, in Revelation chapter 17, John takes that very thought. And in the revelation which the Lord makes to him in John 17, we read there from the 15th verse. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, it says there right at the very beginning of that chapter, chapter 17, verse 1. It says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Then verse 15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Peoples, multitudes, nations and tongues. The world is compared to the sea. The world is compared to the waters. We may have heard the terminology used even in our own language. Probably comes from the scripture in the first place. The sea of humanity. The sea of humanity. It's used in a number of contexts. And so the thought here is in the scriptures concerning the waters. Be in the nations. Be in the peoples. Be in the tongues. And here the disciples are sent forth into the midst of the sea to fish. Now that thought again is taken up in the opposite way, in Habakkuk. Now Habakkuk's not quite so easy to find, and that's page 924, if you're using the Church Bible. See, if you're not, it could be any page number at all. So in Habakkuk, in chapter 1, read from verse 12. Just note these words. This is taking it from the opposite point of view. This is taking it from how the wicked fish in the sea to destroy those. And the Lord Jesus is really taking this, turning it on his head, and says, I'm going to send you forth as fishermen into the sea to bring in people unto salvation. So, reading here then, from verse 12, it says, Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devour the men that is more righteous than he? And makest men, note the words, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle. That is the angle that the angler uses when he goes into the river and casts his hook and goes angling. That's the angle which is spoken there. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. And the drag is the dragnet, which trawlers use in the sea, but can also be used, cast into the sea and drawn into to the shore. And so here it is, the catching of men once again. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net, burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? Now here we read of those who are the wicked drawing in men by the angle and by the net to destroy them. Jesus says, I'm going to make you fishers of men so that you might go out with the net and with the angle and draw men in to save them. But you're going out into that same sea. Now we see in this day and age the huge trawlers which go out, and some have complained that some of the trawlers are so huge that they take too much fish from the seas at the moment. And of course that's a controversial issue just at the moment, isn't it, in the Brexit negotiations. And the world does cast in this huge net and draw men into perdition and destruction. But child of God, we are called also to go out as fishermen, that we might fish with the angle and with the net. We might say with the angle, as the angler goes to try and catch one fish at a time from the river. And he casts using the fly on the end, that he might draw perhaps that old trout which has been in the pool for years, that he might bring it into the shore. And as he does that, so he brings in the single fish. We can all be used of the Lord in that way. We can all be used of the Lord to bring in one person that they might be saved. Of course, salvation itself is not down to us. We can't save them. Only the Lord can save them, but we can tell them of Jesus Christ. We can be like Andrew, who first found his own brother and said, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. Can we not say to those who are around us, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. Come and meet with him. Casting in the angle. And then we might say we could liken the net to the preaching of the word. Perhaps on the open air, or in some of the rallies, or within the congregation such as this, if you bring some person who doesn't know the Lord into the church. And it's a casting out of the net, because the same message goes to everyone. And yet, some may be drawn to Christ. Here's the challenge of the call. But it's a dangerous place, isn't it, the sea? And sometimes we're afraid to speak. Sometimes we're afraid to tell people of Christ, in case they mock us. But the sea is a dangerous place. I remember the storms which rose up on the sea, that even those hardened fishermen were afraid and cried out to the Lord, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And we read from that psalm how that they are tossed to and fro. And then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. And so often it can be that in our own situations we might be brought to a point where we have not been trusting the Lord. We may have been preaching the gospel, but we've been doing it of our own strength, and things are not going the way we thought that they ought to. And we cry out to the Lord, and the Lord is always there for us. The Lord does not cast us off. He is in the ship. He is in the ship. And then in Psalm 104 we read these words, therefore, there go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. There go the ships. And the Leviathan. Leviathan from the beginning, that old serpent, the devil. John Trapp, a Puritan commentator on the scripture, said the world is compared to the sea for its unsettledness, tumultuousness, the oppression that is in it, the lesser fish being devoured by the greater, and the sway that Leviathan the devil bears there. You see, the devil works in the world too. And so there are dangers. But Jesus says to these men, I will make you to become fishers of men. Friend, we need to be fishers of men. There is a danger in the sea. Nevertheless, the Lord will save souls from the midst of the peoples and the nations and the tongues when we preach the gospel to them. We see then this depiction of their service, casting the angle. They take up all of them with the angle. And we, using the hook and the cords of love and the fly, which we have tied as it were ourselves. If you've seen the angler's flies sometimes with feathers and all kinds of things which are put there to attract the fish. Our lives should be the fly. Our lives should be that which attracts people to Christ. The people should look to us and say, there's a person who has peace. There's a person who has concern and care for others. There's a person. Can we draw men to hear? We can't save them, as I've said, but we can draw them to hear. We can recommend to them. We can say to them, come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the Lord, he has saved my soul. He is the one. He is the only one who can save. And we see then also this dragging of the net. We might say that Peter indeed used that on the day of Pentecost when he stood and he preached to the multitudes. And 3,000 were gathered to the Lord on that day. And Peter used the net. He cast it out amongst all of those who had were either Jews or Jewish affiliation who had come there for the day of Pentecost. And he preaches to them. 3,000 were saved. Is that not like the net? That's not an angle. And then we consider also the sorting of the catch. Matthew 13, verse 47. The Lord Jesus uses this parable in that chapter of parables, Matthew 13, 47. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. And we might cast the net in. We might get amongst the fish a couple of old boots, a shopping trolley. And we know that not every person who professes salvation really has got it. But the Lord knoweth them that are his. So we go and we do what the Lord has called us to do. And we find then also these disciples who will become disciples. They're not disciples just as yet. Although I suppose we could say they have already followed the Lord Jesus to some extent. But we find them in their ship, washing their nets and mending their nets. And again, surely we could preach a whole sermon just on those two things. Washing their nets. Are we clean? Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Do we wash the nets? Do we cleanse ourselves? Are we walking with Christ? And then they're mending their nets. And it's a tedious task, no doubt. The nets are large, and they have to bring them in, and they have to check them, and they have to make sure that they haven't missed anywhere. Otherwise, the fish will slip through those holes. They're mending their nets. Friend, we need day by day to mend the nets. We need to be in the presence of the Lord. We need to be examining ourselves. We need to be saying unto the Lord, Lord, search my heart. Lord, look into my soul, and make sure that I am what I ought to be. Mending the nets, washing the nets, caring for ourselves spiritually. It takes time to spread, as it were, ourselves out before the Lord, to search our hearts before him and pray that the Lord would heal us spiritually of all the damage which is done in the world. Remember, those nets have holes in them. Of course, they have holes in them anyway because they're nets. But the holes which have been caused in them, perhaps they're snagged rocks on the floor of the Lake of Gennesaret. Perhaps the damage has come there, but where does the damage come to every child of God? It comes from the world, doesn't it? It is our interaction with the world that damages our souls. It is that that makes us weak. It is that that needs to be repaired. Day by day, we need to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I've been in this whole world, and it has made me unclean. It has made me unfit. Wash me. Cleanse me. Purify my soul. And we see also the disposition of these sailors. They are ready to work. Ready to work. Washing the nets. Mending their nets. They're not slothful in that work. And we find, as I've mentioned already on a couple of occasions, that even when the Lord Jesus has died and they're not sure what to do, that Peter still is ready to go back and carry on with that work. I go a-fishing. And some of the disciples, no doubt not all of them, I can't imagine Levi sitting in receipt of custom wanted to go fishing particularly, but John and James and Andrew would have said, well, let's go. Let's go back and do what we know we can do. They are ready to work. And of course, the Lord Jesus meets them, doesn't he? And they are there upon the sea, and the Lord Jesus upon the dry land. We read in John's Gospel right at the end there. And Peter recognizes him, and he casts himself in, swims to him. And he comes to the land, and the Lord Jesus says to him, lovest thou me more than these? And I'm convinced in my own mind that he is speaking about the fish there. He is saying, do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than that work? And the Lord, and Peter says to him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Do you love the Lord? Are you ready to go and cast the angle? To cast in the net? To see souls told of Christ? Whether they are saved or not is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is, as to change the metaphor, as the watchman who needs to cry and sound the sound of the trumpet. The souls might be, that they might know, that they might hear. We see this then, the consideration of the challenge. Here is the road to their future. I will make you to become fishers of men. And the Lord was working in their hearts, and the Lord has called us. If you're a Christian here this morning, the Lord has called you to serve him. We are the servants of God. We are the disciples of the Lord. How can we serve him? What can we do? Small though it may be, not very good at it though we may be, but nevertheless, we can do something. The Lord is able to save. And so we see this road to their future. I will make you to become fishers of men. And Peter, finally, for this last time, forsakes the boat and the fish and the net, and he goes and he becomes a preacher of the gospel. And he sees so many brought to the Lord Jesus Christ through that work, a far greater work, an eternal work. Not just the bringing in of the 153 fish, which was a large catch, hence knowing the number, but 3,000 on one preaching occasion. The Lord was saving souls mightily through Peter. And then we see their readiness to follow. They were ready. We read there in the way that Mark writes of his straightways and forthwiths, and verse 18, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. In verse 20, and straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Are we ready to go straightway with Christ? Because it can be from now. It doesn't have to be sometime in the future. We don't have to say, well, first of all, I need to sort this out and sort that out. We go about the Lord's work. And here we have a time, do we not, when people are in all kinds of problems because of this COVID virus. People have mental problems. They have problems with their not being able to meet with people. Some people are terribly fearful of this disease. Can we not bring comfort? Can we not bring the gospel to them? tell them of their need of salvation.